Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to address a management issue, and that's how do you motivate employees who aren't proactive? Mm-hmm. So our question comes from someone who supervises three people, but feels as if they have to spoon feed instructions for every task. You know, those. It's like a five-year-old.
That sounds like a management headache and a half. And I bet half the time this person, the manager, probably just does things themselves instead of bothering to go through
I'm sure.
That process.
I'm sure, because it's easier to do it than to actually spoon feed somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Logan, let's just go right to our question.
I am a supervisor of a small department at my company, and I'm very frustrated. I manage three people who were hired before I came into my position. I keep coming up with tasks for each of them to carry out, but none of them is proactive in any way. For example, I asked one of them to arrange a room for a meeting, and he didn't find out how many people were attending or what the setup should look like. Instead, I had to tell him every detail, which is as bad as having to set up the room myself. How do I motivate these people to be more proactive so that I don't have to do their jobs?
Yeah, I
I'm just no one can see this, but I'm looking at Kathy for answers.
Yeah, I think
how do you do this?
You know, to me, if somebody maybe they don't like the job, maybe they're just not engaged. I mean, there is a certain part of the population that is not workers. You know, they're not worker bees. They come to work and they only do what they're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
or if that right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there is the lazy people that just don't, they'll only do what they're told to do. Mm-hmm. And if you're a small company, you can't afford that. Larger companies can afford it, but yet they're not good. They're not good workers. Well, and they don't get good recommendations.
Part of the challenge, it looks like, in this situation is they say that each of the three were there before this person took leadership.
They didn't hire them.
That's really hard when it's not your choice.
Yeah, I mean, you can try really supporting them and saying, this is what I need from you. I need you to really think through. Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you create a chart for yourself. So next time I ask you to set up a room, these are the questions you would just know you have to ask. You know, you can try to help that person think.
Yeah.
Like teach them how to think. But I would put a time limit on that. Like if they don't start thinking in a couple of months, then they're probably not going to think.
Then it's time to go, not think.
It's not a brain issue. I think it's a lazy issue.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like reminiscent to me of school projects that people always hate
where it
starts. You have the one person who wants to do it, and then you have two, three, four people who just
do
are lazy
little.
Or who just don't have the motivation to give themselves a task. Or so you end up doing the whole project yourself or delegating tasks for other people.
Right.
Right. But if it's a course you're really engaged in, you want to do everything.
Sure.
So I think that these people are not engaged in their jobs. They don't really like it. It's a job. It's a paycheck. And that's okay in certain companies, but most companies can't really drag that around, you know? So I think you can try to motivate them, but I think it's a problem. Mm.
So if you create some form of accountability, like you meet with them, you say, this is what I expect over the next week. And as you say, you give them systems for working each task or completing each project, and they don't fulfill the requirements.
Yeah.
Then what? You get ready to let them go?
Yeah, I think you have to let them go for lack of enthusiasm, for not really doing the job.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to give, you know, childish directions on basic work, that's not doing your job.
Yeah.
That's expecting someone else to do your job for you. So that, you know, I'm sure that can be worded in a way to get rid of them. But I think they're in the wrong job. I mean, I would try to get them to see that. You know, sort of manage them out. Like maybe there's something else you're more interested in this company.
In a different industry altogether.
Exactly. You may really want to be working at NASA. You know, you may have other interests.
Yeah.
So I'll help you. I'll support you in that. Mm-hmm. You know, looking for what you would enjoy doing, because I think people get stuck in the wrong companies, wrong jobs, you know.
That's true. Oh,
absolutely.
But then there are cultures that will protect those people, too.
So unfortunately.
Yeah, so it can be tricky. I think part of what I would imagine is, so you do what you can do, but I would also want to enlist the support of other people around me, if there's an HR department, or if there's someone, a colleague, who's maybe at a similar level, who also knows about the challenges with these individuals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you just, you know, make it known, because you don't want to be viewed as the problem if they're not doing their jobs. And I think sometimes you need backup from HR or from someone higher up that's going to say, if you hold these people accountable and they don't fulfill the requirements of the job, you can let them go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's.
Could you talk to other employees? Like other employees that you supervise that are more proactive, that are doing their jobs, and maybe in a way have them
motivate them,
right, in some way or not. So
well,
you're not.
If they haven't motivated them just by the fact that they are workers, then, you know, they're not going to motivate them.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So I think this is the kind of employee that brings morale down and that they actually will. It can be contagious.
Well, they foster, right. I think what they do, and they create resentment for the people who do produce. Mm-hmm. They are looking at them saying, why is this person getting away with this? And I think the challenge for this manager, in addition, is not, you know, because of the concern of, oh my God, if they don't do their jobs, I'm going to look horrible, that there is a tendency, at least initially, to jump in and do it for them.
Right, right.
And so you find yourself constantly setting rooms up, you know.
Well, doing their job. And if you're a coworker that needs them, because maybe you're on a team to get stuff done, you know, you're going to ultimately resent them also.
Sure.
Or probably just not even talk to them and do their work for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that does build resentment, I agree. And it does, it brings morale down. These are not the kind of workers you want. If you are in any kind of a fast-paced environment or one that has expectations of people really pulling their weight, these people have to go. I think you got to figure out, you know, where to
put them. To help them out.
Yeah, how to manage them out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate, you know, because you can sometimes motivate people. But I think these people don't want to be there. I think that this is the wrong job for them.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. See, I think you're giving more credit even than maybe due, because for some people, a job is a job just to show up and do the minimum, right?
Well, so there is that.
There would be no job, perhaps, that would spark their interest unless it was their own business.
Right.
Or
so you need them to, you know, go make someone else's life miserable.
And put it just like that during the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to encourage you to go ruin someone else's department as opposed to mine. Yeah. It's a challenge. I find it.
Oh, sure.
I think this is really challenging. And I will say my inclination with this kind of person is to do the work for them initially and then resent it and then eventually.
Mine's definitely to do the work for them like they don't even exist. Because really, what are you going to do?
Because you know you're going to do it. It's going to get done. That you're probably going to do it better.
And what are you going to say to somebody like this? I mean, if you're the manager, you're forced to say something. But if it's a coworker, it's just, wow, go get a life. Because, you know, this is what you're going to do all day. You may as well enjoy it, and you may as well, you know, be productive.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and maybe get a raise or maybe get a promotion or, you know, like work on something. I mean, I don't have an ounce of me that really understands this level of inertia in people. I mean, you're trained to understand them. Do you understand them? I mean, I don't understand it.
Sometimes. Yeah. But
you
most of the times, no.
Sometimes, like, what are those times you understand it?
Well, just, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, there are days.
There's a certain.
Yeah.
You don't know what people are going through outside
of work.
Right,
that's
true. You know what I mean? They might have a really wonderful, amazing life outside of work, and they just seem like a dud. Because, like Catherine was saying earlier, a job is a job to them, so. But ultimately, no, I'd want them to.
It's hard for me to believe that somebody has a really great life, and then they come into work and they do nothing.
Yeah.
That's hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is hard to believe, but I will say I do think some of the conditioning, let's say, for some individuals, if they feel that they've always been at a disadvantage, let's say, all their lives, and then they have this job, and then they feel somehow like it's owed to them to just, you know, be paid, and that you shouldn't ask anything of them. That's, you know, I don't know, that's oppressive or something like that.
Right.
I've met individuals who feel that way.
Yes, I have also, and they don't do well.
No.
They don't. They end up getting fired from every job because, you know, you have to pull your weight at work. You have to, and you may as well. All right. I think I've made my point. If you're the manager, you can try to get to the bottom of it with them.
Right. Yeah. So you find out. So to recap, we're finding out, is this the wrong job for them? We're making it clear what the expectations are. We're creating systems to help them think, as you said, Kathy, if they're not good at thinking things through. And ultimately, after a few months, if their work product is not improving, it's time to help them leave.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and if you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, please tweet us at AskK2, that's A-S-K-K-2.
And if you want to get on our email list, you can text us now at 22828, that's 22828, and type in My Crazy Office, that's all one word, and you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment of our show talking about a certain kind of employee, and we're going to call them a low beamer. That's what we came up with that title for. In working for you isn't working for me.
Yeah.
When we
yeah.
talked about different types of workers, and low beamer is at the lowest end of the workforce, similar to the person we talked about at the beginning of the show. It's, you know, so how do you manage this kind of person? That's what we thought we would talk about, and how do you manage them out?
Yeah. Mm. And how do you identify them to start? What is a low beamer?
A low beamer is somebody who really, it's a paycheck. They only come to work to do the bare minimum, to just do what they have to do, what they've been told to do.
Right.
And just because you told me last week doesn't mean you're not going to tell me this week.
Right.
I mean, they really want to be spoon-fed their daily activities. And they're not going to do more.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not.
If you say, take out the garbage, and you point to one can, only that one can's gone. They won't be taking them all out.
Which brings us to an interesting point about low beamers. I find that low beam employees are very literal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what you ask them to do is all they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And also they fear doing anything outside of the realm of what they know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of stretching and growing professionally has absolutely no appeal.
Where does that fear stem from for most low beamers?
You know, we pondered that a lot. I think when we were writing Working For You Isn't Working For Me, it's hard to tell, but usually it's some version of fear of success. You know, they just are not willing to step out in any way.
Right.
Because
low
beamers can be quite intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're
Like they're lacking in
intelligence, but lacking in a willingness to be proactive in any way.
Or motivation.
Right.
You know, but I've seen some of them do okay in their own business, but not for working for somebody else.
Interesting.
Right.
So I think that's a part of it. But, you know, even many of them never work for anybody else. They just sort of stay in these jobs and coast. And if they work in a government situation or there's a union and they can't get fired, they can hang for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that brings another entity that we described in Working For You as Working For Me, the coaster.
Yes.
And that's kind of like the person who only wants to do the bare minimum and wants to have fun at work. Mm-hmm. They're usually the ones that plan the office party.
Right, which is can be helpful. They have a purpose. Right. But the low beam are really, you know, they don't have much energy.
No.
Mm. They're on low.
Right. Yeah, whereas the coaster may come and go, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, they're always up for good fun.
Yeah.
Up for a good time.
Yeah.
Not a long time.
Right. That's right. Right. So to me, you have to either manage this person, as we said in the first half, manage them to, you know, have some motivation mm-hmm. and try to find their button, like try to find what motivates them. If
what they're
anything.
Interested in, you mean,
right.
Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
What, something that sparks some true interest on their behalf.
Right.
That's...
If there is anything.
Yeah. Which there may be. And I think it's really interesting what you said about the self-employment piece, because I'm sort of thinking that another piece of the low beamer may be a little bit resentment towards authority.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely some of that in there. Like, I'm not going to do much for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a low pay job.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Lovely.
And you know these, right? I mean, I've gone to retail, you know, supermarkets, and to get, you know, somebody to grind your coffee, to get somebody to do, you know, and you know they're not being paid well. They may not even be being treated well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of beg them, you know, to do their job. I'm not allowed to touch the grinder here. Can you, you know, oh, please, your coffee's so good.
Like I'd do it if I could, but right. I can't.
Yeah. Right. I would have had that whole department running. You know, I would have gotten everybody's coffee
done. Let me behind that counter.
Yeah. But so, you know, I think that contributes that they don't want.
You have to find that spark.
So how well would this individual have done in school then?
Oh, not well.
If they had an issue with
authority?
I
don't think well.
You know, like what?
Well, they probably got B's. I mean, they probably got
that's not bad.
Yeah, but I mean,
I
not
think C's.
C's? I think B's and C's. I know some low beamers who got B's. But the thing is that doesn't matter because they could be very bright. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. the grades aren't an equivalent of how smart the person is.
Sure, sure.
And I also think, I'm remembering actually that when I was in the Peace Corps so long ago, I worked for a low beamer.
Oh, no.
And that was, how do you work for a low beamer?
How did they get promoted? Jeez.
That was AT double sticks. That was just horrible because it was a government job.
Oh, there you go.
And he was the head of like health education or something like that.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And he did not want to do, so here we were, he had all these volunteers who were busy trying to write health education curriculum and try to get the schools engaged, and he just did not want us to succeed.
Wow.
So, but you know what, Kathy? I did Yikes. Intuitively what you mentioned, which is that I figured out what he wanted.
And that was what?
He wanted to be seen as a charismatic figure in the education department.
Okay.
All right.
And so we just started praising him at every opportunity.
There you go.
And then he at least got out of our way.
And that's an achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah, the low beamer, they're heavy.
Yeah.
They can be heavy and they're, you know, their procrastination.
You feel it.
Yeah,
mm.
exactly. You feel that they're like a tree that fell down and it's not going to move.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well,
yikes.
This, you know, I think for high achieving people, they're really a problem.
Yeah.
Because you can't really relate to it.
And you'll feel as if they're holding you back because you have to always stop and give these very super specific.
And you better be nice to them because, right?
Yeah. In my experience,
they'll hold you hostage.
They will absolutely hold you hostage. And that's what I mean about that. It's not for lack of intelligence. Like, they know how to do the bare minimum. And
when
they
also learn this? It's bizarre.
I know.
But they're out there.
They are out there. Yeah. So identify your low beamers.
They will self-identify, I'm sure.
They'll be hanging low, so they're not hard to find.
It's true. And they're hanging.
Kill them with kindness. Try to find out what interests them. I think that really is the best play. Certainly if it's a coworker or colleague of some kind.
Your only
That's
option.
Your only hope, really.
That's all you got. That's all you got there.
Yeah, so like if they sell Amway or something, I would buy a lot of their products.
Oh, jeez.
Be careful in interviewing that you don't hire a low beamer.
Yeah. How would you identify?
Well, they usually don't have references.
Oh, yeah. Unless it's like a cousin or something.
They usually don't have references. And also, they don't last too long at jobs. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Those are two indications that you got a problem.
What's a question you would ask in an interview, Kathy, that might identify if someone was a low beamer?
Well, you can ask a multitasking question like, you know, give me an example of the last time you were able to multitask three different projects at once and describe that situation to me.
Yeah.
You know, so like try to put them in situations where
they would never experience.
I was going to say, even if you just ask, what do you consider to be your greatest achievement? That could be an interesting tell in one way or another.
But also, usually they will answer, you know, if you ask them about multitasking, they'll usually say, well, I'd like to complete one thing. Uh-huh. You know, they'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they still can slip through the cracks if they're very charming.
Ooh.
Yeah, huh?
But they're usually not that charming, are they? They can be, I guess. I haven't met one. Maybe I have.
She's still on a search.
No, I think that I'm thinking of someone we both know who I would call low beamer. Because part of what they can do is get you enrolled in their personal lives and personal drama. Like we know someone who's a high-ranked assistant who's, I would say, really is a low beamer.
Definitely. But she would not self-identify as that, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, and so what was obvious in working with her was that everything turned into a personal crisis and a drama of one kind or another.
Right, there's
another. We never got to the work, Logan, of how do you want to develop as a professional?
That would drive me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. But actually did very well and was able to sustain it when working for a boss that was that way himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now she has a different boss that requires a very different
high
enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Not going to work out.
No, and I don't see her rising to the occasion, do you? All right, well, so that's it for this show.
Yes.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories about managing low beamers and other kinds of unmotivated employees to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.